This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Selina Zito of the Washington Examiner, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the New York Post. Her reporting you can find at selinazito.com. Recently, a conversation with the former governor of South Carolina, former member of the Trump administration as ambassador to the United Nations, and now the announced president for the United States of America, Nikki Haley. Selina, what is striking about Nikki Haley is that she's been a presidential contender from the very first. What is it right now that she believes she brings to the American conversation?
Haley is officially going to hold her announcement on February 15th, but the information leaked out this weekend about her announcement. I think that Haley is going to point to her foreign policy experience as something that is very needed in the upcoming 2024 presidential contest. She will, I think, point to winning. She's never lost an election, whether she was running for the South Carolina state legislature or if she was running for governor in that state. And she always won with more than 50% of the vote. And so I think she believes she is a formidable argument to make. South Carolina is the first primary state in the South next year. It would be around February of next year. And with the exception of 2012, since 1980, every Republican that has won the South Carolina primary has gone on to win their party's nomination. And, she does have a great infrastructure within her home state of South Carolina. So that will, I think that is the basis of her argument to kick this off.
South Carolina is a successful manufacturing state, is my memory. I think Boeing moved there. It has an education base. It has a workforce. It's surprisingly progressive about its infrastructure. It was already prepared, nothing to build up. Does the governor speak of these matters from her time, or does she concentrate on foreign policy? Foreign policy is colorful in the headlines. It's what we talk about, but it doesn't win elections. The pocketbook wins the elections. Does she talk about pocketbook?
Well, I think that's the conversation she will kick off with. Right now, and this is common with people that are about to run, they, right before their announcement, they sort of stay mum, they step back, they let other people sort of carry on the conversation and the speculation. And then I suspect we will see her kick off with a pretty formidable narrative that will encompass manufacturing and what's important in states like not just South Carolina, but the entire country.
We turn from the future presidential candidate. I don't want to get ahead of this. The announcement is out, but the announcement is not out. So Selina is very careful about this. I understand why. We turn to a story that Selina has posted that I was unaware of. I played Little League Baseball. We were sponsored by local businesses. I don't remember the names. I plead youth. I was 9, 10, and 11 years old. But what I learned from you is that Amazon, the global conglomerate, has a feature called Amazon Smile that is challenging to Little League Baseball. How so, Selina?
Well, I think there's a really interesting dynamic going on here. Little League Baseball has, since its very inception, been sponsored by small businesses. And in rural and urban areas, a lot of these small businesses have closed down, and that reliance on that sponsorship evaporated. What steps in is Amazon and says, hey, we're starting this program, Amazon Smile. It doesn't cost you anything. With every purchase that you make, you just click on, say what charity you want to support, and we'll donate 0.05% of your purchase towards that charity. And hundreds and hundreds of little leagues have been able to stay afloat, in particular in inner city and rural areas where there is less ability to get a small business to sponsor their team, and have been able to stay afloat. And the Little League program is so vital and very important for young people. Keeps them out of trouble, teaches them how to be organized, but also brings out their athletic abilities if they have it. Instead, Amazon Smile is going away, went away as of yesterday. And Amazon said they're now just going to focus on things that reflect their values, like social justice issues.
So the Little League is without a sponsor from the global scale of Amazon, and the Little League must go back to the local businesses, but they don't know how they're going to fare because those businesses have been inhibited or damaged by Amazon's success. Is that the formula
exactly
we're looking at? Yes.
Exactly. Amazon has taken away twice. First of all, it's been responsible for a lot of small businesses closing. They can't either keep up with the competitive prices or meet the demands that Amazon requires in terms of free shipping. If small businesses use Amazon as an outlet, now they're taking away again by taking this ability for Little Leagues, but also a bunch of other charities. You know, small businesses have always been the heart of supporting small charities in small towns and keeping them afloat. That's now going away and going to social justice issues.
And the Baldwin's Little League in New York encouraged its community to use Amazon Smiles. So a number of these little leagues have encouraged people over the year to use Amazon Smile, but I'm going to guess, Selena, very few people know that it just went away.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I wrote the story.
Yeah, right.
There are, I found hundreds of little leagues that depended right on this, but also food pantries. I mean, the list is massive. They've given over $500 million over the past few years to charities that nonetheless would not be able to have access to that kind of giving.
Selena Zito, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, New York Post, Washington Examiner. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you